Praise God. You're worthy of glory. You're worthy of it all. We just present our lives before you, God. You alone are worthy. Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, that's fun. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks to the Lord. We got one prayer request. Well, little Benjamin is doing better. Thank you for praying for him, Nick, or Ben said he's doing better. Nick had some news come today. And, you know, whenever change comes and you don't feel good about it, then God has to help us either get feeling good about it, or he's got to build up in us the power to stand our ground and go on believing. And that little song that we just sang there, it said, it's by his will that we were made, and then it's by his will that we remain. And so he's got a change coming, and he doesn't feel good about it. And so, Father, we just pray for your will to be done. And we delight in your will, Lord. Sometimes we have to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. But, Lord, we cover him with prayer as his church family tonight, and he'll be having a meeting tomorrow, and just believing that God will have him situated just where he's supposed to be, and then give him peace. Hallelujah. Safe in the hands of the Lord, right? Praise God. All right. Yes.
We met some lovely people over here. Yeah. Community center, the Vietnamese couple, they're in their 80s or toward their 80s, and the wife has got a collapsed disc or compressed disc is pressing against the spinal cord, and they said if she doesn't have surgery, why, she's going to be paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And they've had a surgery they had some troubles with, and so her and her husband are both very scared, especially her. I was talking to her, and she said that she's just scared and worried, but the pain's so bad, but she's going to have it next Thursday, so I'd like to ask for prayer for them for the next week or so. Their name is Joe, and her name.
Joe and Kim, and they're a Catholic family up in their 80s, and Kim and Nancy have been witnessing to them, and with the kindness and of the Lord, and told them they'd be praying. They've been praying for them, and so we pray for them. We met a lady today that you probably know. Her name's Muffy. Yeah. It's amazing. I've been running into a bunch of Catholic people who are not settled in a church somewhere. Then they're telling me they're looking for a place to go. And so I was in line, and I don't know why, but she said, can I get your email address? And I said, well, okay, you know, I just want to buy something Big Lots. I don't want to develop a relationship here. But and I said, it's PASTOR.Rowden. She says, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, that's why I start off with that. And she asked where, and asked what kind of church. She said, I'm looking for a church right now. I need a body that I can participate in. She said, I'm part of a Catholic church, but there's no closeness, and I'm not, you know. And I said, well, come by. So she promised she was going to come by. I said, you know Rudy? Rudy works up here. She goes, oh, I know Rudy. So, I didn't even have one with me. Got to get equipped, don't I? Yeah. Well, praise God. All right. Arlene's having a problem with a leg and going to the doctor tomorrow, and they're going to do some x-rays. So, Lord Jesus, oversee all that. Get her well. so she can do a little dancing. Amen. How are you, Ben?
All right.
Hanging in there, buddy?
Hey,
all right, good. All right, well, praise God. I'd like to finish up what I started on Sunday morning. There's just a couple of little points that I didn't get to that I felt like they were worth me expressing. So let me just back up. We're talking about some of the signs of spiritual. Some of our problems are just natural things that we have to go through. And some of them are deeper than that. They're emotional. And how you know the difference is, you see, your soulish person is where your emotions are, and it's where your thinking is. And so if you have a problem or a temptation, and it rises up, and you have to fight through it, and then that's in the outer court. See, that's stuff out in your, those are natural things that all of us have. Everybody in here has been tempted, right? Everybody in here will have things that you'll run into when it rains. This is both positive and negative. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. You're going to have things you're going to have to work through. But how you know it's deeper than that and how it might turn into an emotional problem is that's your emotions, that's your thinking. And when you can't quit thinking about something, when it starts developing and it starts to occupy you, That's a sign of your emotional being. I just want you to know that God is, he's Lord over all. And he wants to touch you in your outward circumstance. Sometimes he changes the circumstance. Sometimes he comes alongside us and builds us up, holds our hand while we go through something. And so we come through it without smelling like smoke. But there's another layer that is even deeper. And sometimes those things are there and we don't know that they're there. I'm talking about spiritual problems. People get spooked when we talk about evil spirits and people who are tormented. And there's a lot of people who are tormented and won't admit that they're tormented. And they won't give in to the fact that, boy, maybe I've got a root of something. A lot of times we have things that have been handed down that we weren't even aware of. There are generational things that people are born with. And so nobody can point fingers at anybody. If you're going through something, you say, boy, you know, I was trying to go to work today. It was raining. I must be doing something wrong. No, you weren't doing something wrong. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Now, you can start being tormented about that. And you can start doing, and you can, if it turns into everywhere I go, things always go wrong for me. Every time I try to do something, it always backfires on me. I never have any luck. And it starts occupying you like that, you know. And that involves your emotional health. And you'll wear yourself out and you'll wear out everybody that's around you. You stay with that and it can be an entrance into a deeper place in you that can turn into a stronghold. How you know the difference between a stronghold and something that you're just doing is when you can't quit doing it. Right now, see, I set myself and I say, that's what I'm wanting to say. When you say it and you're not even wanting to say it, let me turn it around for you. Because, see, you have a spirit man. And when your spirit man gets full of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do this on these three levels so that you can get this with me. There's the natural things that we go through. And there's the things that we have to use our mind for. See, on the positive side, you need to renew your mind with the Word of God. Yeah. See, there are things, let's do the rainstorm. It rains, so I can say about that, well, God must be angry with me. Or things would be going better for me. And then I start meditating on that. And that turns into a pattern of thinking. And that can open up an entrance for, see, wrong doctrine, wrong believing. If, let me turn on the positive side. If believing has the power to save you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If that has the power to save you, can you imagine what believing that God's against you? can do. The entrance of that into your let me turn around positive again. The entrance of the Word of God, you know what it brings? The entrance of the Word of God brings light. See, it brings light into your inner man. Somebody says, well, why do I want now? Watch, remember, in that spirit man part of you, the outside, what kind of light's in the outer court? Sunlight, natural light. What kind of light's in the inner court? Candlestick. That's Bible verses. That's the Word of God. See, you start renewing your mind with that. Now watch. And the entrance of the Word of God brings light into a place where there is no light. There is just the light of God. And so here's what I want to tell you. There's a difference. Somebody says, well, boy, I am really trying to believe. When you're trying to believe, we just had a discussion on the way home a minute ago. She's one of my darlings said, because she said, are you going on with Mark tonight? I said, yes. She says, I'm working on it. I'm applying it. And I thought to myself, well, praise God, that's good. Well, keep applying it and keep rehearsing it. And the entrance of the Word brings light. But watch, there's something greater. See, when you're applying it, where are you living? That's your soulish person. I'm telling you, ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. To be full of the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, how important is life application? When you're having to apply what you learned, does anybody know that will wear you out? That will, somebody says, but it's good to do that, isn't it? Well, it's better than nothing. You know, you learn a principle and then you have to try to do it. I'm trying to be a doer of it. Let me tell you, there's a different place to live when you're abiding in Him than it's what's in you instead of you having to apply it. Wouldn't it be great if, does everybody know how, everybody in here has hit your finger with a hammer, haven't you, when you're trying to drive a nail? And quick response. Everybody in here has had somebody do something weird to you, pull out in front of you or whatever, and quick response. Anybody get your feelings hurt, and before you could even think about it, quick response. See, we all have that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you became full? You see, the only thing that can come out is what we're full of. You squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice, don't you? You squeeze you get you juice. That's you. You want to find out what you're full of? Say, well, just treat me nice and I'll treat you nice. Well, treat me bad and see if I treat you nice. Then you'll find out if I'm full of nice. Somebody says, well, you know, everybody has natural. I know, it's out there. But He's inviting you, come and abide in here. Oh, what a place. Now, one of the signals that I wanted to give you, let's run through this little list real quick. A sign that you might be having a spiritual problem and not just an emotional problem and not just the common everyday problems. Spiritual problems are not worse. Don't be afraid of that. The name of Jesus is greater than any name that's named. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess His Lordship. Amen. Of things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That means all those realms. I mean, demonic things that are going on that may have been passed down to you, or maybe you opened yourself up to something when you were young and you wish that you never had, and you say, well, I don't know if that's a spirit. I'm giving you the keys right now to let you know if it's a spiritual, has a spiritual root or not, so that you can resist Him. When you submit to God and resist the devil, the promise is He'll flee from you. All right. Dwelling among the tombs. Remember that demoniac? Who in their right mind would dwell among the tombs? Who in their right mind would surround themselves with people who always have negative reports and who always gossip and who always grumble and who always find fault and who always point the finger. See? Everybody here? That's death. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Who would surround yourself with people where I've gone into, I have to work in a bar sometimes. And sometimes it's dark. It's a lot darker sometimes than other times. You know, people carry that in there. And there's nasty, dark, gross spirits. And you can pick up on that. You find that. Now, and so I go, oh, boy, I don't want to be here. And so I start just releasing the presence of the Lord, standing my ground and clothing myself. And because I don't want that to be entering here. I don't want that to come into here. See, what I'm telling you, if that's the only place that you want to hang out, because I've been there. I've been there where you hang out at a pool hall. I'd rather be in a pool hall than be around people who are talking Jesus or talking faith, where there's gambling and where there's swearing and all and so much smoke that you can hardly get through. I know what it's like to be there. That's being surrounded, though, with death. Surround yourself with light and life. Amen. You have your choice. You could be watching an R-rated movie tonight, or you could come in and be part of a Bible study. You could get together with some people who want to study God's word or praise the Lord together, or I'll walk by, and let me brag on some of the people I walk by. I know what you can tell what is in there moving. I go by a room, somebody's in there grumbling, complaining, cussing. I go by a room, somebody's playing their guitar, singing, "Oh, praise you, Jesus, how much I love you." Yeah. See? So surround yourself with light. You're children of light. What fellowship hath light with darkness? So, and now what I'm getting to is if you feel like I can't break that hold, that's one of the signs that you have a spiritual root there and God's going to help you. But you got to acknowledge that. You got to call upon his name. All right. So, dwelling among the tombs when it can't be controlled. Remember that demoniac? They put chains on him. Somebody says, well, I've never had chains put on me. No, you try to quit on your own. See, that's what I'm talking about. You shackle that. If it's a diet, okay, I'm not eating that anymore. I'm going to cut down. I'm not going to do that. And then there we are. Whatever it is, you know, drinking it up or whatever we do. I said, no, and we set the goal and say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I don't have a spiritual problem. I could quit if I wanted to. Well, and you probably tried, but it's just like that demoniac. They put shackles on him, put chains on him, but nobody could control him. He was held down for a little while, but there he broke free. That's a sign of a spiritual root of something. Resist the devil. Self-destroying things, things that you know aren't good for you, and you can't seem to quit doing it. You know this is bad for me. I shared with you the example. And I'm not picking on anybody with any particular habits now, because all of us have, but all of us have something that we need to get rid of. But one of my doctor friends, it was such an eye opener for me. He said, "Guess which occupation?" Because when he was going through medical school and then did his internship and all that. Of all the occupations, the ones who have the greatest problem with both tobacco and alcohol and even drug abuse, you know what an occupation is? I told you the other day, didn't I? It's the medical profession. Doctors and nurses. If anybody should know better. Now, the people come to the doctor's office, the doctor's saying, you need to quit smoking and you need to not have, you know, watch that alcohol stuff. And certainly you don't want to be doing, and they're the ones doing it. Now watch. See, this started maybe because they needed to stay awake or whatever, but it became something that they couldn't stop, couldn't get rid of, and it's a stronghold. All right. Drop down. Here's the last point that I wanted to share with you. This is positive and negative, both get it on both sides here. Lord, help me make this clear. when, well, I guess I've really already said it, when I can't quit doing it, and I thought that I could probably stop it, but I can't seem to quit doing it. Here's what I want you to get. This is it, the inner part. This is on the positive side. This is so great. This is what your relief is. Do you know that if it's pouring down rain out here and you're in the biggest storm time of your life, and then your emotional being in that next part, you've been rehearsing all of that, and you've got every reason to be depressed and to be discouraged and to be wiped out, but you have the Holy Spirit. He will be your glory and the lifter up of your head. And that, what is on the inside of you, will trump, there's our president, will trump the other two. That's great news. See, so Paul said, some people said, well, you must be doing something wrong or you wouldn't be having all those troubles. He said, I'm not entertaining that. He says, I've got a witness inside me that God's with me, and I count it all joy. See? It wasn't that everything, it wasn't that there wasn't any storms, and it wasn't that he wasn't going through anything emotionally. You know, it's that he had the presence of, greater is he who is in you, that in is that deepest place. Greater is he who's in you than he that's in the world. Now, when we turn this around now, because I want you to recognize the presence of another evil entity that could be occupying us. See, it trumps. Its voice will trump natural circumstances and even what you think or think you know. Now listen, watch. So somebody says, I know this is the promise of God. I know this, and I know that he's not a man that he should lie. And yet I still cannot get myself to the point where I'm going to say this is what I believe and this is true and it's settled. See, I see what's going on in the natural and I have my thoughts and my emotions lined up with that. And even if I find a promise of God and I can't, are you understanding what I'm saying? Some of you might be battling for peace and you say, okay, well, they told me to get all of the peace verses. And so I get all the peace verses that I could find. Therefore, being justified by peace, we have by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who keeps his mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Great, it'll be his peace. And so I get all my peace verses and I start working on them. But I still can't get rid of this torment or this uneasiness or this fear. All of the work in the world is not going to change that. But one word, one flowing power of the Holy Spirit can trump that and can change that and can reverse that. I just want you to trust in God. If you don't know what else to do, say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. He said, if you ask, you would what? Receive. Seek and you'll find. Come on. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. That's the end of that. Now, let's do the next few verses. Let's start with verse number 21. Mark chapter 5, verse number 21. We're going to have a couple of lessons here. I'll probably be going on with this series on Sunday. Because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We're reading about the Acts, the testimony of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. And if it's the spirit of prophecy, it means it pertains to you and your spirit, man, because you live in him. In him you live and move and have your being. You're born again, man. When you read about him, you're reading about you. As he is, so are you in the world. When you received him, you received the authority to become a son of God, a child of God. And if a child of God, then an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, with him. All right. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. This is so we have Jesus, who is God's son, and he's radical now. The word has started to get around that there's even a rumor he's claiming to be God's son. He's the Messiah that's been prophesied about, but people didn't know. But there were so many things that was happening. Jairus was a leader or one of the chief people in the synagogue. That's the Jewish synagogue. And so he's a Jewish fella, but he's open to, there's a lot of religious people that need to find out that God is a miracle working God, even in the midst of his people. And that's what's happening to Jairus here. All right, praise God. So his name was Jairus. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and he begged him earnestly, saying, everybody patronize me here. Just would you say some of the words I'm going to have you say? Let's say the word saying. Saying. Do it again. Saying. How important is what you're saying? I'm going to read the next three little sections are going to be people who say something and get it. And then this word saying, do you remember what in the Greek language when we have these kind of verbs, those ing verbs, it means, do you want to do it? Continuous action. It means he didn't, when it says he was saying this, it means he didn't say it once. When it's saying, it means he kept saying this. This is what you keep saying. Come on, let's just say some things. I believe God. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, let's just say, let's keep saying. See, if you're saying, if that's not what you said, that's what you're saying. And so he kept saying, well, Jairus said this. He kept saying, this is what I know. Now watch. See, there's different levels and different measures of faith. And this is where he was at. He was getting in touch with his innermost part. He said, he was begging the Lord and earnestly saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. What was he saying? Was he saying, I've got a problem? Was he saying my daughter's bad sick? Was he saying my daughter's at the point of death? Those are all things he was saying. Don't let him talk you out of. See, there's a lot of weird teaching about the power of confession. Like, don't confess that you're sick. Don't confess that you got a problem. Don't confess that you're weak. Well, you might just well confess it. Everybody knows it. But see, hear what else he confessed? He said, and he kept saying this. He said, I've got this problem. My daughter's at the very door of death. But I know this, that if you will come and put your hands on her, that she'll be healed and she will live. And he kept saying that. Praise God. Remember what the entrance of the Word of God does? Brings light into your dark situation. Come on. Hope's going to come to life in you. Line yourself up. Find the promise of God. All right. So Jesus went with him. Look what Jesus did. Why do you think Jesus went with him? Because the man kept saying that if you'll come with me and lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. So, there's our next big word. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now look. I'm getting ready to share the next point I want you to get, because how many of you have something big in your life you're working on? How many of you got a big goal or a direction that you're going? Maybe it's your calling. Maybe it's your vocation. Maybe it's your family. Well, I'm concerned about my family right now. I'm just applying all my energy toward that. And then I kept saying, you know, and I'm even saying that. And so here I'm answering that now. And so here's Jesus. I want you to get, because see, you're the one that's in Christ. And so I want you to be able to appreciate Jairus and what he was doing, but you're the ones in Christ, so I want you to see what Jesus is going to do, because Jesus started to go with Jairus. He said, that's what you kept saying? And he responded to Jairus' faith. And so he said, come on, put his arm around him, and they started going. They started going to the house to see the little girl. But what happened? It said, Well, yeah, but even before that, well, you know what happened? The crowd thronged around him. Did you hear it?
Yeah, yeah.
They're following him and thronged around him, and there's a whole slew of them. I mean, that slowed him down. That would slow you down, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now watch, on the first part of me, I just started saying, boy, I bet you Jesus is not going to lose. I bet you he's not going to lose focus. I bet you he's going to keep, I know where I'm going. You know where I'm going? I'm going to Jairus' house. I'm going to get that little girl. I'm going to raise her up. Praise God. See, that's where he was headed. But the crowd thronged him. Now watch. I've had to learn this. I have a calling on my life. I can get real focused on that calling. Sometimes I'm right in the middle of some of the greatest studies that I have, and I have all these visions of grandeur. You know, boy, they're gonna love it when I get to tell them all this good news and all that, and you know, probably nobody's even gonna care. Who knows? I don't know. But I have all that, and I'm getting focused, and then somebody calls and they want something. Or they're pulling on my shirt tail.
Yeah.
Pulling on my, that's what Jesus did. That's what's going to happen to him in a minute. So, let me fast forward and tell you another story about Jesus. It says, one time somebody came and got him and says, come to me. It's real serious. And Jesus said, you're right. This is why I've come. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I've come to save Israel. And that's what I'm here for. And he's going on the way to save Israel, save the lost sheep of Israel. And a Syrophoenician woman, she's a Gentile. What was Jesus' focus? Israel. What was he going to do? Saving the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And a Syrophoenician woman started hollering at him, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Even his disciples said, leave him alone, can't you see, man? Man's got a call on his life. And Jesus took time and ministered to her. Boy, and he's the one, isn't he? You remember the story about the Good Samaritan? We got a parallel thing going on there. How we got somebody that's over here with a need, and we got religious people that have a goal, don't they? Well, one of them is what? Come on, you remember the story? Well, I'm a priest. Don't slow me down. I'm on my way to the temple right now. I got serious business. We're going to offer sacrifices. We're going to burn the candles. See? And he walked right by him. We got another one comes in Levite robes because they're on their way to choir practice and says, we don't have time for you either. And then we've got a Samaritan. They call him a good Samaritan. What makes him good is he took time. You think that guy wasn't going anywhere? He was going somewhere just like the others are going somewhere. It's just he expanded his boundaries. I'm just sharing with you right now. Because here I am. I've got some goals, some real serious things. And the enemy will twist things around. You know, I'll sometimes feel like, well, you need to get your life in order before you try to get everybody else's life in order. Why don't you get your family straightened out before you try to help everybody else's and all that? And so, okay, I'll make that my focus, and I'll just zero in. I'm praying, I'm storming, and I'm sowing, and I'm working. And then somebody over here is wanting some help. And saying, well, I don't got time for that right now. He said, I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of these things that are before me right now. And then I read this story. And Jesus is going with Jairus. And because Jairus was exercising his faith and said, I know that she's going to live if you'll just come put your hands on her. And so Jesus was on his way to go do it. Now watch. Praise God. Now a certain woman. Now, see, there's a multitude that followed him and thronged him. You need to get ready to get thronged if you start moving toward God in any way. You're going to get thronged. And some of it can be distracting. You know, I'm not saying that that the enemy will never come and try to get you sidetracked and pull you off track, but watch here. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and she suffered many things from many physicians, and she spent all the money that she had, and she still was no better, but she was even worse. She grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said. Yeah. For she what? Yeah. For she said, and it's going to be continuous action verb. For she kept saying. For she kept saying. This is what she kept saying in herself. If only I may touch his clothes. Well, the old King James Version, what's it called? The hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. That means, you know, not get up all over wherever he is and everything. Just barely, if I can just barely get to him. There he's going by. If I can just barely make contact. Another understanding of that is Jesus has these little tassel things that hang off of his garment, you know, because it was a prayer garment. And if you don't know, every one of those tassels represent one of the commandments. And you can't fulfill. You can't get good enough. Did you know it? You can't keep all those laws, but you can touch Jesus. You can reach out and touch him, because guess what he's clothed with? He's clothed with this garment of righteousness. And so she said, she kept saying in herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, if I could but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. I just want you to start saying some things inside yourself. And so I'm not talking now about applying, like making a life application. Yet, I'm just talking about I just challenge you to fill your mouth with the word of God. Just keep saying what God says. Because something's getting ready to happen. She said, I know that I'd be healed if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I'd be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And his own disciples said this. See, what else? What kind of question is that? Go back a couple of verses. It says, throng. They followed him. They were thronging him. And so his disciples said to him, you don't see this multitude thronging you? And you're asking us who touched you? They all touched you. That one touched you. This one touched you. That one touched you. Here's what I've now said. So we've got lots of applications to this that you need to challenge yourself with. Is we can have a crowd. How many we got in here tonight? Okay, we got a dozen people. And I wonder who's going to touch Jesus. I wonder if we can all get together, we can all get close, and we can all press in as hard as we can. And Jesus would turn around and say, okay, who touched me in prayer tonight? Okay, who released? No, we're all here, Lord. We were all doing it. Jesus, that's not what I'm talking about. Said somebody evidently had been saying this and repeating it, and had opened themselves up for the light of the Lord to come. See, I just want to challenge you, boy. You can be in the midst of a whole. So here you are in your family. I'm part of a believing family, but somebody in that family is going to touch God this week. You can be part of a believing church. We're going to be part of us. We'll come to church again on Sunday. We'll have, we'll get 40, 50, 60, 70 people in here. And it'll be fun. And we'll all worship the Lord together. But somebody out of the crowd is going to touch Jesus. And he's going to say, somebody touched me. Who touched me? And you know what I said? And then it says she finally just gave up. She said she was afraid. Because he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, well, they all touched you. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody released their faith. They touched me. And she came forward and she said, it was me. I'm sorry. I did it. And listen to what he said. See, now Jairus, remember? Jairus said, if you'll come and put your hands on my daughter. I know that, and you heal her, I know she'll live. This lady said, if I could, watch, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be healed. And Jesus, after she touched the hem of his garment, and she said, it was me, I did it. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. Praise God. That's what she was fully persuaded of. Now, Jairus was fully persuaded, if I can get Jesus to come to my house and put his hands on my daughter. Well, here they are. I'm paraphrasing that because I'm right out of time. The lady just got healed of her issue of blood. And so Jesus says, come on, Jairus, let's get back on track. And we'll says, sorry, we had to stop there for a minute. And before they could get started again, some friends came up and said, don't bother coming. It's too late. Your daughter died. Now watch, see, I'm just telling you, God's going to expand your faith. Because what was it, the Jairus, what kind of measure of faith did he have? That if you'd come to my house, see, while she's living, and put your hand on her, then she'd be healed and she'd live. And now they came to him and said, don't bother coming. She's already dead. Jesus said, come on, Jairus, we're going anyway. And he went, and now watch. Remember, do you remember that throng? He left the throng in the background, and he took a couple of his closest followers. Yeah. And when they got to the house, they had even professional mourners. They used to pay people to stand out and wail. Yeah. Professional mourners. If you were a wealthy family, this is Jairus. He's one of the leaders in the synagogue. And, you know, we want you to know that when our daughter dies, you know, a lot of people cared. So they got professional wailers. They're mourning out there. They're carrying on, crying, saying, oh, it's awful. And Jesus said, scatter out. They said, don't bother. There's no use going in there. He said, called a couple of his disciples and the little daughter's father and mother, Jairus and his wife, said, come in here. See, you gotta get rid of the unbelief. You gotta get rid of the moaning. Gotta get rid of the wailing. You gotta turn that aside and get with Jesus. Jesus takes them in and he goes to the bed where the little girl's lying, and he says over her, "Daughter, little girl, arise." And she woke up. She was 12 years old. And she woke up and they fed her and they brought her out and they all marveled at what God had done, God in their midst. It's as far as we're going to go tonight. I hope you've got a couple things you can challenge yourself with. One of them is, what are you saying? Jairus is saying, boy, I know that it's all about him. If I can get him to where she is. And it worked for him. There's a lady that kept saying, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be healed. And she kept saying that, and she followed through and acted on her faith. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. The other thing I wanted to challenge you with is, you all have got things you're working on and that you know are important and a direction that you're going. Wait. There are people that are going to be, and there's going to be a lot of energy drains, potential energy drains, but there's going to be a lot of potential ministry opportunities, and don't shut them off. Did you hear me? They're going to be there and say, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now because, you know, I've got spiritual business to take care of. Let's love them. Let's pour in some oil. I got enough oil and wine to take care of more than one. Don't you? Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, amen. Let's seal it up with prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for And I just want to confess again that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we read about the acts of Jesus, and it's a word of God hanging over our lives, prophesying over us. This is who you really are now. This is your new identity. You are those that have a destiny. You're those that have a calling, but you're those whose hearts has been expanded. And even while you're going the direction, you can take time to minister to people who are around you. And God will meet needs, and he'll use you, and joy unspeakable will be released through you. Hallelujah. Father, bless our congregation tonight. Bless these people. Burn in our hearts with your word, Lord. Give people maybe that are going through a struggle time, would you drop a living word into their mind that they can start saying, that they can start keep and remain saying. They'll just go on saying those things and let the entrance of the word of God bring light. Hallelujah. Some of you who battle depression say, boy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody says, well, I can't say that because, man, I don't feel any joy. Well, Jairus didn't feel like his daughter was well. The woman with the issue of blood was issuing blood. But she was saying, if I could touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be well. What are we saying? Your joy is my strength, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Help me, Lord. I'm going to wait on you. Renew my strength like the eagles. Hallelujah. Hold me up, Lord. Be my song in the night. You're my strength. Praise God. David gets into such a deep depression. He'd say, I got so many enemies. It doesn't even pay me to get up. I can't get out of this cave that I'm in. But then the Holy Spirit would follow right up, and he'd start saying, come on, let's say it. Praise God. God's my help. The Lord's my strength. Amen. He which began a good work in me will go on to perfect it to the coming of that day. I can't get away from him. Praise God. He's greater than I am. And he's the greater one. Praise God. He holds my head up. Amen. Blessed is the Lord. Praise God. And I'm blessed in him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Got to practice it. Keep practicing his presence. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Hallelujah. Come back on Sunday. We're probably going to pick up right there and go on with that study.